Tangled Up in the Blue, Bob Dylan, 101.9 High FM. Well, she's not tangled up in the blue. There are a whole lot of wires around you, though, Bev Malun.
They are, aren't they? Hey, I look like detangle. I'm changed up.
Bev Malun, self-esteem engineer. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Nikki?
I'm so good, thank you, Bev.
Good.
Looking rather marvellous in red.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you. My mom always said red's my colour. Mm.
Red is your colour, darling.
She always said.
Red is your... Really? How does one actually find out what one's colour is?
Well, you could do a number of ways. Mr. Price is very useful with that. You just go there and just try and T-shirt after T-shirt with an opinion committee. Not that one, not that one, not that one.
And then you know. Process of elimination.
Exactly, every single thing they have that comes out in all 27 colours of the rainbow. Who knew there were so many hues of blue?
I like that. Process of elimination. So, Bev, we're taking your calls. We're taking your SMSs. If you call us while Bev is in the studio, we take your call before we take the SMSs. Incidentally, Bev, while I'm talking, you can look at the 28th of the 10th, 1975. So, please do call us 0861 24 24 36. 1975, or SMS us 34519. Bev is going to look at your birth date. She is going to give you a better sense of self, and also just a few ideas and hints of perhaps areas that you could be working on in order for you to really reach your potential. And just try and be specific, as if you want to tell us, you know, male, female, or try and be as specific as you possibly can. It's 23 minutes to 10 o'clock. It's 101.9 High FM. I'm Nikki Seberini. Delighted to be with you because it is Friday. Well, I'm delighted to be with you, but it is Friday too.
It is.
It is a double whammy. 28th of the 10th, 1975.
28th, okay. 28th of October, 1975. We don't have male, female, anything.
Nothing.
I'm getting woman, but you know, it is 50-50.
I see.
So we'll go with woman. And we will see. So we have here somebody who is very intellectual. This is somebody who thinks about things a lot, very much so, analytical thinker, and very creative in her ideas, right? Likes to do things, likes to help, likes to nurture, likes to care. So probably in a vocation might very well be taking the lead in something that has quite a dramatic or different platform in the world, that is not the typical societal model of how things are, and has a spin person. So the natural ability is creative, directional, educational, loves to share, good orator, and that's only if the self-esteem's intact. That's the higher potential of this person. So if the person is in there listening with a quizzical look going, I'm not like that, well then it's because the lower potential's coming in, and that would be unfortunate. But then what we would be finding is somebody who's so nurturing and caring, but who lacks compassion when hurt, and who can withhold affection and is insensitive almost, and lacking the generosity of spirit when hurt, and who socially is not secure, and who socially lacks self-esteem, and who has a huge amount of work that needs to be done in that area to be forthright and have the courage to lead with conviction, and who has deep sensitivities that aren't being shared, and who doesn't voice the needs, the unmet need, which is so important. We speak about this all the time. If we cannot voice our unmet need, we cannot fairly expect anyone else to meet that need. Very few oracles around aside from you, Nikki.
It's tough being the oracle.
It is.
It's exhausting. Bev, let me ask you this. So you talk about, I mean, this particular person, you're saying if you're listening now, you may feel this way, in which case you're reaching your potential, or maybe not, in that you're, and then you're not. So are you saying basically that if you really work on your self-esteem, if you're able to express how you feel, if you're able to make decisions, make statements independent of the thought and opinions of others, that your life could take on a completely different path?
Absolutely, for everybody, not just for this person, for everybody.
For everybody.
We live on a spectrum. We live on a spectrum between our highest and lowest potential, good and evil, well-intended and poorly intended. We live on a spectrum. And most things happen to us in life, or most things are acted on because we believe something, or we have a misperception, which is just a negative belief. That's all it is. It just means I believe in the wrong thing. And some people will go to war over a misperception. Oh, but I thought you meant, but I didn't. Oh, but that's what I believed. And so if people believe, in themselves, or they have someone who pours belief into them, then there's very much more of an opportunity for them to reach into their higher potential, have the courage to risk failure. I read such a beautiful thing by somebody the other day, and I wish I could quote who it is, but she was saying exactly that. She said, "I'm willing to risk failure." I know who it was, Nicole Kidman. She's just done a bizarre movie, so out of character, and I was reading a whole article about her decision-making process and why she did it, because it's so out of character. She plays a sleazy, lower-class blonde, actually, in it. It just happens to be. That doesn't mean that that's denigrating anyone with blonde hair, but yes, that is how they put it. And she says that, you know, it was very out of character for her, but that's why she did it. She wanted to risk failure. She can afford to. And I thought, how wonderful, but can't we all afford to risk failure? Because if we don't risk it, how do we definitely succeed? If I have a desire to be doing the long jump, what's the likelihood the first time I'll ever jump will be the furthest I'll ever jump? It's unlikely, if not completely impossible. Because the first time I jump, that's just love, wishful thinking, and a whole lot of nothing. And then you refine it, and you get training, and you get the right shoes, and then you eat the right things, and suddenly your body can do more, and you can travel more distance, and so we reach higher in our potential as we have more courage, more willingness to try, more willingness to risk failure. And so the higher the self-esteem, the more I believe the right things about myself, that I have permission to fail, I have permission to try, and thereby I can succeed. Very few people succeed first up. My son always says this. Thomas Edison said, you know, this is my son's favorite comment. He said, Thomas Edison said that he didn't fail 1,000 times or 10,000 times creating the light bulb. He discovered 1,000 ways not to make it.
Oh, it's just, it changes everything.
It changes everything.
Whoever
this person is, I will say that I'm obviously picking up that there's a lot of conflict there. Because there's so much potential, and when this person feels safe, they'll be in their higher potential. Okay. And this person doesn't always feel safe, and therefore there's that low potential that's coming out. But the more we believe the right things, that we have the right to try, that we are valuable, and that there's a nobility about us, and that you are a fraction of the Creator's energy, a fraction, how can you not think highly of yourself? It's not possible.
Thanks, Bev.
Okay.
24th of August, 1969. 24 August, 1969. This is a female. If you've just tuned in, good morning to you. Bev Malone, self-esteem engineer, is in the studio looking at birth dates that are coming through on the SMS line and just giving one a sense of areas that perhaps need to be worked on in order to reach one's full potential. We are also taking your calls on 0861 24 24 36. Mazel tov. It's a female. On the 27th of April, a little baby giraffe, a little girl, entered this world. And I've got to tell you, she is so sweet that if you had to see a picture of her, I've got to just check to see if she's on the website, because your heart will simply melt. And believe it or not, she was rejected by her mom. She's being bottle fed and hand reared by the Lion Park staff. And we, Chai FM, have decided to adopt her. But we're asking you to help us because we need to name her. We're going to have a wonderful naming ceremony at the Lion Park on the 10th of June. And we really do hope that you're going to join us on that day. It's going to be kosher food. We're going to be getting... Oh, Bev has got a picture of her. Were you there, Bev?
Did Kathy send it to me?
No, she is adorable.
I can tweet it to you if you want.
Oh, she's adorable. Those long eyelashes. No, you have to come along on the 10th of June. You've got to meet this little baby giraffe, and we're going to be naming her. But we need your assistance. Do you have any idea? Do you have any inspiration? What do you think we should name this little giraffe that we are adopting? We'd love to hear from you. So please SMS some ideas. Just SMS name and then the name of the giraffe to 34519. 34519. Let's give this gorgeous little giraffe a name and an identity, and maybe we'll profile her numbers. No, we won't. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the 24th of August, 1969.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. We have Bev Malone, self-esteem engineer, in the studio. And on the line, we do have a caller. And I always say, call us because we'll take your calls first. So before we get to that date, Bev, that I gave you, which is the 24th of August, 1969, a female, we do have Pamela on the line. Hi, good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. I wonder if Bev could please give me maybe some advice. I was born in the 31st of December, 1956. I'd like to find out more or less what I should actually do. You know, I seem to start something and never sort of finish it off.
Mm.
You know, I want to start a little business and then I get great ideas and then I don't finish it off. I get very despondent. I can start about three or four things and just leave it.
Mm-hmm. Bev?
Got it.
Okay, Bev's sitting here nodding as you're talking. Pamela, would you like to listen on the radio?
Yes, thank you
very
much.
Fantastic. And thank you for calling, Pamela. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So Pamela's saying that she just is in a position where she has great ideas. She starts things, but she just can't finish them off.
She's a very creative thinker. That's why. She's very creative. She wants to garner respect and she wants to create a following and she wants to do that. But she also has an unrealistic expectation.
Uh-huh.
So Pamela, take notes. This is my best offering for you, and I hope it has value. But I really encourage you take notes,
okay,
because she's so creative in her thinking that she comes up with 5, 10, 15 ideas, and then she'll pick 3 to run with or 4 to run with. No. Write down all the ideas, even brainstorm and mind map or write lists about each idea and what could do or what could happen or what could become if you did those. Fantastic. Then choose one and set a course for that one. And then if that course stretches you but it looks doable, go do it. Because mm-hmm. all of those ideas will be input into her and imprinted on her because she's capable of them. We cannot dream of anything we cannot realize. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I won't dream your dreams and you won't dream mine, because I don't have the capacity and potential you do and you don't have mine.
Mm-hmm.
So we can meet people who have like dreams, but then they all have similar capacity and potential, and we can meet people who will buy into our dreams, and that's fantastic. And that's how anything comes to fruition. It doesn't happen just because of one person's idea. But at the end of the day, we need to focus to light a fire. You need that laser focus. If you're going to use a lens to light a fire, it has to focus. It has to become sharp and hot, and then it will get hot enough to create fire.
Right.
But if it keeps moving and it moves to different things, so everything gets warm but it doesn't get hot, and you don't fire.
So you're saying for Pamela, she needs to write all of these ideas down.
I'm not. Yes, I'm saying don't let them go.
Yeah.
But
put them down.
I have lists of ideas. Mm. I may get to none of them ever, or I might get to 1% of them throughout my life. But sometimes other people are looking for ideas and I can offer, have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? Because it's something that's come to me, and it hasn't come to me by accident. When I thought of writing my book, it was 2003 December, and I thought of writing The Survival Guide to Parenthood. Or The Parenthood Survival Guide, the name changed a few times. That's what I thought of writing. And I thought of writing it at the time, The Survival Guide to Parenthood through the Survival Guide to Single Parenthood, something like that.
Mm.
And I'm not joking. I didn't get to it immediately. But the next, a year and a bit later, it was out.
Mm.
A woman in California wrote the book with the same title. And I emailed her and I said to her, when did you conceptualize this? When did it happen? And she told me December 2003. And I thought,
amazing.
Oh my goodness, it was out there.
Mm.
It needed to be written. She wrote it. I said to her, I must tell you, I'm writing the same book from a different perspective or whatever, but it has the same title and I don't really want to change it. She said, go ahead. She said, the more books we have out there like this, the better.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, what a freedom of spirit. Mm. But I mean, it also was my first book. It was her seventh. So, she should care, right? She has her following and she has her achievements in life, and so she wasn't threatened by it, which is so wonderful. But I'm saying that there's reasons why we get ideas. There's reasons why they come to us. It's because we can be the bearer of those ideas. We can be the custodian of them and either bring them to fruition, share them with others, or give others the opportunity. And by acknowledging them and writing them down, you give them voice in the world. Others will tap into it. That's the one aspect. The other aspect is, it is very hard to develop 2-3 projects simultaneously. Very hard. It's hard enough to develop one project.
Mm-hmm.
So to develop 2 or 3 simultaneously is almost unlikely and it's not reasonable. And that's where I come back to with Pamela, her unrealistic expectations, is that she'll put pressure on herself to do so many different things without being laser focused and want to be successful. And she has the capacity for success. She's very good at systemizing things. She likes to get schedules done. She likes all of that. But then she gets distracted and wants to go off and do this and go do that. And she's dramatic and she likes to be involved in many things. And you may be spreading yourself too thin. Very much so. And on top of that, you're an ideas person, but ideas need to become concrete. So we need a strategy. How can I implement this? What needs to be done? What steps have to be taken? What will the cost be? How long will that take to happen? What if it takes longer? What's the plan B? Do I have something in place while I'm doing this process? And the last thing I would want to offer to you is that be careful of the emotional fallout of putting too much pressure on yourself and not being realistic in what is possible, because then she tends towards a victim mentality. I can't believe this is happening to me. I never get these things done. I feel like a failure. That's all nonsense. Those are misperceptions. They are not healthy beliefs. And the fair belief would be to say, would I think this was true of anyone else if I was looking from the outside? And I saw this person who's juggling seven balls, trying to get four things done at once and feeling overwhelmed. No, I'd say to them, but it's so obvious you'd be overwhelmed. How can you expect to get this all done? You're putting so much pressure on yourself. Focus, focus, focus on what is most likely to come to fruition that will bring you the results you need. Focus and do. Because part of what she's doing is setting herself up for failure so that she's right about not finishing.
Wow.
Sorry, Pamela, but that is part of what you're doing. And I'm going to say it again. You're setting yourself up for failure so that you're right about not finishing. Because of your fears of not succeeding.
Wow.
And that's a huge thing for her. She is so wrapped up in wanting to be perfect that she does so many things and never ever lets anything finish. Because then she doesn't have to worry about people's opinion of it not being perfect. Focus on one thing. Get it as best as you can. You'll keep refining. You'll keep refining. You'll keep refining. And it will keep augmenting its own level of perfection as you step forward.
Fabulous. There we have it, Pamela. Wow. Thanks, Bev. We've got Daniela on the line. Hi, Daniela. Thanks very much for holding for us.
Okay. Hi, Nikki. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Daniela.
I really would like to know a little bit more about my son, because I think he's having a very difficult time. His birthday's the 3rd of November 2000, and I think he has issues and things of self-esteem, which you'll see, and I really want to know how best to help him, because at 11... it's quite hard for him, you know, apart from my reinforcing how wonderful he is, and not in everything, but that he's good at stuff.
Bev, you got it. Daniela, you're going to listen on air?
Yes, certainly I will.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
I hope you get a lot from this, Daniela. Thank you.
Okay, so right off the bat, he's got his own story. Remember, we've talked about this before, that certain people have their own story, and it's countercultural. So if it is that I am put together in a way that could fit into society quite well, so that's fine, because then I just rise up in my own potential. I have a vocation. I have this. I have that. It's similar to what other people have. I'm not countercultural, and it all fits in nicely. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a few catches here for Daniela. Firstly, her son's born in the year 2000. And so is mine. And I can tell you, Daniela, with compassion, empathy, and not sympathy, but compassion and empathy, I'm telling you that these children that have come into the world since 1997, there's a new energy of children. And that millennium year has birthed children who are struggling in many ways. So yes, you're right. Your son's probably not having an easy time. But I don't know any of those children are having an easy time. Mm-hmm. They're having to fit into a school system that bores and frustrates them. They're listening to antiquated ideas put across in antiquated ways, whereas their minds work so intuitively and so fast that you leave them alone with an iPhone, they've figured out all the secrets. In half an hour, 45 minutes, they know everything. Why? They're not afraid to press the button. They're not afraid to press it twice. They're not afraid to shake the phone and see what happens. They're not afraid to figure out what this thing can do for them. Whereas we're taught in our antiquated educational system, sit down, be quiet, turn the page, follow this, read that, don't move, stick it in, must be straight, color in the lines. There's so much rigidity in how we've been educated that there's a limitation to the expansive thinker. Incredible limitation. And we find that many times the expansive thinker can't bear the environment and leaves it. And we've seen huge creations and huge things come out of these people, but they couldn't sit it through in college. They couldn't get through the schooling system. And more we're going to be seeing that. I love education. I think it has huge value. I do think, however, the system needs to be renegotiated. I think we have a whole new kind of child, and this young man is one of them. So we have a young man here who's got his own ideas about how things should be, and probably if he had his way, he would have preferred to not come back to Earth. He probably would have preferred to just watch from a distance, which most of these kids would have preferred. But here they are, and they're bringing light into the world and healing and opportunity and intuitive thinking and open-mindedness and so much new that we will benefit from in the next 100 years. But they have to develop, and they need to develop with a sense of self that says that their beliefs are okay, that struggling with school is okay. We don't have to try convince them it's great. It's not great. Sorry, educators, it costs a fortune and it's not great, especially in the private world. It is just not doing what it's supposed to for many children today. So I counsel with parents all the time, and they say, my child hates school. How old's your child? 4. How old's your child? 7. How old's your child? 12. They're all struggling with the environment. And he's going to do the same, Daniela. So that's not your responsibility to make him love school. What it is your responsibility to do is to help him understand that while he's living in his world and getting through this lifetime, provided he does nothing wrong intentionally, does no harm to others on purpose, and learns to live independent of the scrutiny of others and follow the heart he has and the ideas he has, because he has great ideas, then he will be fine. He's not going to fit into society necessarily, and this is, I'm saying to you, not him. He's not necessarily going to do what society says a boy should do. He's not necessarily going to want to grow up to be the doctor, the business owner, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever thing you think is what he's supposed to be, I would just put it aside so that he can live into his full potential independent of your insecurities, of your beliefs in what society says, of anything else, because he is a boy who needs a huge amount of affirmation and respect. He really does. And when he doesn't get that, he will turn inwards. And he has a tendency to turn inwards, and we don't want to encourage that. But when he feels like he has space to just be him and to try and to risk failure, and he'll be affirmed anyway, and he will not respond to false affirmation. So be careful with that. This is not the kind of boy who will buy what you're saying if you just say, but you're wonderful, you're lovely, you're so clever, you're so good, you're good looking, you're this. Just be careful with that. I'm not saying take away the affirmation. Heavens no. What I am saying is be careful that it's ever inauthentic. Be careful, because this is a very intuitive boy, and he deals a lot with what he knows to be true. And when he sees an incongruence in other people, he will find it very hard to relate to them. And you never want that person to be you, or your husband, sure, if he's there. You never want it to be you. So be authentic with your son and give him the space to figure himself out and permission to be miserable when he's miserable. Don't be afraid of his sadness. These children have a huge capacity for greatness, a huge capacity for enthusiasm and curiosity and a willingness to learn. And they have a huge capacity, therefore, too, to reflect and to feel sad from time to time. And it's okay. As long as they can articulate what the sadness is about, it will pass. It's when they cannot articulate it that you have the Columbine disasters at the worst case scenario, where these children turn inwards with this pain they can't articulate, have no place to share it, and no voice in the world. But where a person is being raised by a mother who cares, like you do, Daniela, who wants to try, who's willing to ask, who says, help me, then I'm telling you, he will be just fine if you give him permission to figure out who he is, independent of the scrutiny of others and your insecurities. Don't be afraid of who he could become. Don't be afraid of his reflection, his sadness from time to time, and his frustrations with the world. You might find a very different young man reflect back at you when you acknowledge that he's probably right.
Sure.
It is unfortunate.
Wow. Okay.
I've had these conversations with my son all the time. I'm sorry school is disappointing for you, but it is a process you need to follow. And if you show aptitude for it, then we'll find a new solution for the last few years. Perhaps it won't be as structured, but I need to see your aptitude. Sometimes in life, you have to just do the stuff. But I can't stand this. It's so boring. Okay, so complete the worksheets and then they're done. Because the school environment we have needs you to prove you can do it, so they let you move on to the next thing. So instead of withholding and frustrating the process and yourself, prove you can do it, move on.
Wow, Daniela, I'm sure that that has a lot of meaning for you. And we're going to take a break. And Bev, this 24th of August, 1969, whether there is a call or not, we have to do it. We've been talking about that birth date, female. So we'll get on to that just after this break. How would you like to be the first member of the South African public to see DreamWorks animated movie Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted? Bev, put your hand down. Chai FM has arranged to have an exclusive screening of Madagascar 3 for you and your family. All right, you can come along, Bev. On Thursday, the 14th of June at Kalani Mall, before it opens in theatres and before the rest of South Africa gets to see it. Not only is this a premiere event, but Chai FM has negotiated a brilliant ticket deal for you. To reserve your ticket, SMS MOVIE to 34519 now, and we'll call you back. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
This is In Your Element with Nikki Sabarini on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. 2 minutes past 10 o'clock. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun is in the studio. We're taking your birth dates. We're taking your calls, 0861 24 24 36. But the person who sent through the 24th of August 1969 female is very, very patient. But I do just want to say that Daniela sent through an SMS, Bev.
Yes.
And Daniela has said, spot on, Bev. Thanks so much. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Yay. Well, yeah. Hope it has value.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
great. Do something with
absolutely
it.
Right. 24 August,
it's so liberating, though, you know, when you hear somebody else say, and I'm not saying I'm the authority on it, but when you hear somebody else say, just let it go.
Yeah.
Let the insecurity. Yeah. Don't be so scared for your son. Just let it go. Protect
you
him.
Need
teach
to hear,
him. Guide
you need
him.
To hear someone else actually
and then
say
you,
that.
But it's so liberating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I no longer have to be imprisoned by how terrified I am.
Mm. Mm, absolutely.
When we realize how little control we actually have in the world, it is an incredibly liberating place to live in.
Oh.
So let's look at the 24th of August, because clearly this person is sitting there tapping their foot or hand or something, or really hoping, because we're both picking up on, need to focus there.
Yes.
So let's do it. All right. So we have a young woman in her early 40s. So she'd be, what, 43 this year eventually,
mm-hmm.
not just yet. And we have somebody who very seriously has a need for things to be absolutely perfect. And so I guess that would also add to the frustration this morning. I sent in my message early. What time did the message come through? I sent in my message early.
Early.
Yeah, early. There you go. I should have been the first. And now look what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say a few things, and I hope that you want to hear them. I hope they're good for you right now. But this is not an easy person. You're not easy. Mm. You would scare me. This is somebody who is so lovely and so nurturing and so caring and so much wanting things to flow and to make things easy for other people and to make things beautiful, but such a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to add that on planet Earth, to my knowledge, there's no such thing.
Mm.
I know there is somewhere on the universal plane, but it's not here. It's not here, really. I looked in the mirror this morning. I saw imperfection staring straight back, but not lacking in value, not lacking in special, not lacking in nice person, not lacking in anything like that. Just not perfect.
Mm.
So much work to be done all the time. So much work to be done. And if on nothing else, my time management. It's not where it should be. It's better than where it was, but it's a work in progress. Now, that's what I'm trying to communicate here. There are so many things that are a work in progress. They're not perfect up front. They're not going to ever be, but they're a work in progress. And you can set the table, then you can fix it, then you can fix it, then you can fix it, and then you can get flustered and frustrated that someone touched and moved something.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at that, because
mm-hmm.
we're living with an insecurity there. There's an insecurity about not feeling like I'm enough if it's X, not feeling like I'm enough if it's Y. It has to be in a certain way for me to have that feeling of fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful with that, because then that reflects around us and on everybody else. And it can be exhausting to try and live up to that perfection. So the beautiful support here that we have is this wonderful, nurturing, caring, affectionate, generous spirited person that can be over the top generous or spirited and very much likes to lend out a helping hand. in a very structured and powerful way. And he's also deeply sensitive, but people don't get to see or hear about that. This is a beautifully sensitive being, but people don't know, and it's kept hidden by this exterior that is well presented, well put together, and always ready for a photo shoot, right? Mm-hmm. So we have this person with a lot of internal conflicts going on. Mm. And what I will say to you is that if we just exhale on having to have things perfect, you will find that you are able to finish more things and that you can perfect them afterwards, and as much as we can as humans perfect anything and have more effect on them afterwards. But this is certainly somebody who does not lack in the capacity to be generous or spirit or give.
So is it about letting go? Does this person just need to let go and realize?
There's an exhale. There's an exhale, I feel, that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just, let it out. Let it out. Let it be. It doesn't mean things have to deteriorate. Things fall apart naturally. They get built on purpose. I always say that. They will deteriorate naturally. To really establish something, you have to do it on purpose. I agree. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying let it all out, let it hang out, let it fall apart. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, however, is that if we constantly focus on things being in a certain way, that level of flexibility is actually an insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And it is limiting, because instead of worrying as much as she does, and she does, about the opinions and scrutiny of others, her opinions and scrutiny are harder than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So be gentle with you. This is a wonderful human being with so much ability and capacity and potential, and there's so much value there. But we need to let it flow.
Yeah.
And there will be people who hurt you, and there will be people who disappoint you. And certainly, I'm certain many people that are in your intimate space feel like they let you down more often than they should, because there's an expectation and a view and a need and a demand almost about how things need to be that is inflexible. And with any inflexibility and insecurity comes a difficulty with relating and with conversing and with the flow of a relationship. And it happens with people who have a very rigid way about how things must be. As soon as it's not that way, it's like, why is it not that way? Why? What is wrong with you? Why would mm-hmm. you do it that
mm-hmm.
way?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing wrong with most people. They're just not on the script. They're not on the page. They didn't know it was supposed to be a certain way. Sometimes we need to be able to voice the need, not the demand, the need. I need it to be this way because it makes me feel excited or full. I need you to do this to me because I feel special. I need. And this is not somebody who likes to voice need, but is so quick to meet other people's needs, almost verbosely. So I'm saying energetically. So what I'm saying is that part of the exhale is being okay with not being perfect in oneself and being okay to need.
Okay.
It's perfect. Okay to need. Mm-hmm. I need water. You need water. Mm-hmm. So does Mr. T. I know he doesn't like to admit it, but he needs water. He
you
needs
do,
food.
You do, Mr. T.?
We
really?
Need water and food, and we need sleep. There's a lot of need. Mm. So how can we think for a second that needing affirmation, needing closeness, needing connection is a bad thing? We need. Okay. That's what makes us human. And when we no longer need, we don't need this body anymore. It's done.
Thanks, Bev.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay.